Would you like to build a better relationship with your in-laws? You know, the people I talk to, the vast majority will say, yeah, I mean, maybe we have a good relationship. I'd like to have it better, have a bad relationship. I'd like to have it good. Or I'd like to have a relationship of any kind, more than better than we have now. These relationships matter, and it's important. It's important to your son or daughter or to your brother or sister. And it's important to honor God because our relationships really are a sign, as according to Scripture, of our growing faith or lack thereof. Hey, I'm Dr. Randy, and welcome to Intentional Living from our Intentional Living Archives today, focusing on in-laws. But we'd like to have you join us live with your comments on our comment line right now. All you have to do is call 888-888-1717, press number 2, and you're welcome to leave your story. And Intentional Living is about, what are we doing next? And for 30 days, can I challenge you to make this a priority? If you wrestle in this area, if this is sort of what rings your bell, take the next 30 days and every day do one thing to build a relationship, a better relationship with your in-laws. Could be a text. It could be to pray for them. Maybe to give them a telephone call, send a little note. But every day for the next 30 days that you are intentional in building a better relationship with your in-laws. And also leave that comment at 888-888-1717, the power of in-laws, the power of having a positive relationship today. Let's get started. Caitlin wants a better relationship and wanted to share a message. Take a listen.
My in-laws, they don't necessarily like me, and I want that relationship to grow just because I have a son now, so I want our son to have a relationship with them. So I'm looking for guidance in terms of making that relationship work better, and I was also wondering on what I should do in my position, and I want to also know if there's any verses I can read or devotions on forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the verse I always go back to, and there's many. If you just get a concordance at the back of your Bible and look up forgiveness, you could Google forgiveness in the Bible and get a page of verses. But the one that I think is most striking, that reminds me every day of God's intentional love for us and forgiveness, is from Ephesians 4:32, where it says, we are to be kind and compassionate to one another, to forgive each other just as Christ has forgiven us. And when you think about what he has done for us, and you think about the fact that he forgave so much, everything, and the little piddly stuff that we need to forgive, is in comparison, it keeps things in perspective. Now, to your point, though, Caitlin, about your in-laws saying they don't like you, if we could dig a little deeper, it'd be interesting to find out why don't they like you, because here's what I find out often. Expectations aren't being met somewhere along the line. And often as we dig a little deeper, we hear that something was said at some point in the relationship. An expectation wasn't met at some point in the relationship. Or something was ignored. And in that process, a wall starts to build. It doesn't take much. You know, when you come along and all of a sudden you steal, mom's little boy and you get married, that can create a barrier just by that virtue of that, if you're not careful. And you didn't even intend to. A lot of this stuff is unintentional. And so if you're saying you got a son coming along, you want to have a better relationship, I would spend some time with your mom-in-law, if she's the issue in particular. Hey, go out to lunch, get to know her, be interested in her, ask questions about her, set your own issues aside for a while and really invest into her life, start loving her, knowing more about her, finding out about her history. And as you start to do those things to see if there's a softening that occurs, and then at some point, it might be more revealed what the issue is. Sometimes we have to just set our own stuff aside for a while. If we truly want to have a relationship, we have to sacrifice to do this. This is a lifelong relationship, and you want to do it well. All right, let's get to some calls that are also on the line here. We go to Wendy, who's in Arizona, with a comment today. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good, appreciate your call. Go right ahead. What's your comment?
I deal with an interesting situation of in-laws and the fact that I have both extremes in my in-laws and also in my parents.
Mm.
So,
yeah, and what do you mean by extremes?
His family, his parents are very loving, very gracious. Grandkids come first. We will just move heaven and earth, to show you love. My parents, on the other hand, have no boundaries, walk into the house. Their time is our time. They expect when they're ready to do something that we're ready to do something. So we've got this dynamic of both sides. And in that brings a competition between in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents never feel up to par. They never feel as important. The grandkids like them, my in-laws better than them. Their Christmas presents are always not to par. It goes on and on. And this has been going on forever. I have a 21-year-old daughter, 17-year-old daughter. So we've been dealing with this for years and years and years. And one thing that we've just really realized as a family, both of us, because I know there's been times when Sean's parents, my husband's parents, have driven me crazy because I'm like, good grief, we're trying to discipline the kids and they just, everything's okay. And then I know that my parents drive him absolutely bonkers because we're watching TV and my parents come in and we're like, okay, hi. And there's just a kind of mixed dynamic there. But one of the things that we realized is that a long time ago, we had to set boundaries, and it took us a little bit longer to confirm those boundaries. But we did have to say, you know, our time is our time. We appreciate you guys wanting to be part of our lives. We appreciate you guys loving the girls. We appreciate this and this. But this is the line that we need to draw. This is where we have to have the boundaries.
Hmm.
And
how did your mom and dad deal with that?
It hurt feelings. It did, because they were like, fine, you never want us around. And it's like, no, that's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
We just need this time, but we're going to give you this time. And we actually made a concentrated effort to schedule time with them so that they saw that they were important and that we were going to take time out of our lives to include them.
Mm.
And then that scheduled us, hey, you're doing this. Well, we're not available here, but we're available here. And it really, really, really helped that relationship in the fact that...
So they honored it. I mean, they weren't happy and they probably were hurt, but
sure. They
came around to understanding and adjusting.
Right. For lack of a better word, they got over it. We were kind about it. We were loving and we were like, okay, but... And the other thing we were was consistent. We didn't say one time, okay, this is the boundary, never mind. We kept that boundary and we just said... No, this is what it is. We're sorry this doesn't work for you, but... And we just had to do that a lot.
Now, what about the relationship between your parents with no boundaries, better now than in the past, and his parents, more gracious, more sensitive to boundaries? How's the relationship between the two of them, that as couples?
It's strained. It just always seems like there's a competition behind the scenes. You know, we've always told the girls, you know, if you get something from Nana and Papa, my parents, make sure you're thankful, make sure you're, because, and it didn't matter. It just, the kids never favored one over the other. They just assume that. They just take that on themselves as, oh, we're just not good enough. And that is just something that we've had to deal with. And we give affirmation when we can, and we're like, no, they love you, and look, they're spending time with you, but that is still, even to this day, an ongoing
thing. Yeah. Yeah, listen, this stuff is difficult. It really is, and I think being able to just be transparent to a certain degree, let's face it, it is not always healthy. You can't get everybody into a room and assume you can talk about this stuff, because feelings are going to be hurt, and some people are more sensitive, and so while we'd like to be able to do it, the reality is you can't always. But the fact that the two of you can set some healthy boundaries and talk to your parents, I think, is a good thing. Boy, this is, by the way, our lines have been very busy on this topic. It's a pervasive issue. It's a big issue. We want to do this well. We're hoping that you'll have less of the oh no moments, like, oh no, now we got a major problem, and have more awareness. This is a day for all of us to look at ourselves in terms of our relationship with our kids, our relationship with our in-laws, and what role we play. One of the teachings we have here at Intentional Living is our job is to help our kids to be successful in those in-law relationships. That means we have to sacrifice some of our own needs and wants and wishes at times. We have to be willing to share Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, and other times. You have to be willing to forgive. You have to be willing to extend a lot of grace, because our number one job is to help our sons and daughters and those that we love to be successful in those in-law relationships. All right, what do you think? Join in. 888-888-1717 is the number. Back in a minute.
We've all been discouraged. Perhaps a relationship didn't pan out, or you didn't get that job you applied for, or maybe your life hasn't gone as you expected.
When people become discouraged, it's usually because they've first been disappointed. Our formula is expectation minus reality equals disappointment. Because disappointment always follows something that we expect that doesn't turn into reality.
In Dr. Randy's message, Overcoming Discouragement, he provides you with practical advice for how to not let discouragement get in the way and how to find your strength in Christ. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, thank you, Kurt, for that reminder. And I do say a huge thank you to those of you who've been doing exactly that, praying for us and supporting the ministry. We're non-profit. We're non-commercial. We simply rely upon you all because of your faithful giving and support of the ministry. We can carry on. And we've got a really huge, passionate desire to help people experience their life. And like today, talking about in-laws, we want you to experience a relationship with these folks who are so special in a way that God intends. And it can be powerful as we teach the principles of intentional living in Christ. You're helping us get this message out, seeing people come to Christ, families restored, marriages saved. Thank you. And this topic on overcoming discouragement is for you all, made it possible because of the generous support of so many people. Come and join us. Your gift today and monthly support makes a huge difference. Call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours. Or simply go on over to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
In-law relationships, a big one. We've got a lot of calls on this topic, how to be intentional with it. Let's go to Vonnie in New Mexico with a comment today. Vonnie, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. What's your comment on in-law relationships?
My biggest gripe would be that there's in-laws that will, on the grandchildren, for say, one is blood, one is not, and, you know, step-grandchildren, and them treating the children differently because of that factor.
So you're in a blended family?
Yes.
Okay, and so you have some children now in your home, and the grandparents are treating one different than the other. And how do you notice it?
Just by the way they spoil, say, the blood child versus the stepchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Or at Christmas, the blood child will get 20 gifts to where the stepchildren only get 3. They'll believe the blood child's story instead of getting the full story of what was happening within the children to come up with actually who was wrong in the situation.
Yeah.
And has caused conflict in my marriage over this. So
are these your parents or your husband's parents?
My husband's parents.
Okay. And does he talk to him about this?
Well, kind of, by pulling his arm and coaching him to, not voluntarily, no.
Yeah. Well, you got two issues here, Vonnie. One is a marriage issue because you're not happy about your husband not dealing with this.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
All right. Yes. Let's get that on the table, because if the two of you are in agreement, then the rest of it's kind of a piece of cake. You can deal with it. When two stand together, amazing things happen in a marriage. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be easy, but if you're both in agreement, it's important. Now, he needs to take the lead, not you. I mean, just bottom line, he's got to sit down with his mom and dad and say, Mom and Dad, blended family's tough enough. I'm trying to make this relationship work. I'm trying to make this marriage work. And it's not easy. And I really need your help. And so here's what we're going to be doing moving forward. When it comes to gifts and so on, if we can't do this in a way that's going to be supportive of all the relationships I'm trying to build, then we'd rather not do it at all when in terms of gifts and so on. I'm really asking for your help. Tone it down. I'd rather have a couple of gifts and you share kind of with everybody than to be, you know, 10 for one and one for the other. I don't know what the balance is. And you got to be careful too, Vonnie, because you're sensitive to it. And you got to cut them some slack if they really are willing to work on this. Because understand that these are, quote, their grandchildren. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. And so, like I was saying, we've been together 28 years. So this is 10 years ago that this has happened.
Yeah, we're not talking just recent then.
We're not talking recently. Now, I have my own grandchildren and one my son adopted, but I do not treat them different whatsoever.
Yeah. Well,
and,
and that's good. And I'm glad you can do that. Not everybody is capable of doing that. Frankly, not everybody's mature enough to see it. But what I think has to happen, what would be helpful, Vonnie, would be is if you and your husband, if you could get through to your husband that this would be helpful if he could address it. Does he agree with it and see it, or is he just afraid to, is he not the temperament to sit down and deal with it?
He sees it, but he just refuses to step up. And, it's just gone on for, I don't know, we've been together 28 years and currently separated because of his parents sticking their nose into our disagreements without getting both sides of the story and then putting all the blame on me when, you know, it takes two to tango.
Listen, I hope you guys don't allow that to separate your marriage. There's so many things in life. And I hope your husband sees it. And I'd be praying for both of you guys that you could get into some counseling and talk this thing through. These issues can be pretty easily resolved as far as the in-law relationships, but you got to get on the same page. And I pray that you don't, I pray that you're able to do that. You got 22 years, what'd you say, 22 years invested in this marriage?
28.
Can you get into counseling? Are you in counseling?
No, but I pray daily and we are communicating and trying to work it out. But yet he does not want his mother or his family knowing we're trying to work it out. So he's still refusing to deal with that issue.
Well, we'll be praying for you, Vonnie. You know it. He probably knows it. Everybody listening hears it. And ultimately, we got to be responsible for ourselves in our marriage. Okay, Vonnie, thank you. Let's go to Cindy in Michigan. Cindy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. He has. We're talking in-laws today. What's your comment?
I'm struggling and have been since my son married his wife about 20, 21 years ago.
You didn't like her?
Pardon me?
You didn't like her?
No, I didn't know her, really. Okay. To say I didn't like her or dislike her. And when I was spent time with them, because we live in two separate states, my son came from a blended family, but she always felt that I wasn't his mom. His stepmom was his mom. So she's always treated me with disdain. If she even talked to me at all, I don't know how many times I would try and talk.
Say that again. She didn't treat you. She didn't consider you to be her mom or stepmom.
My son's mother.
Oh,
his blood mother. So it's been difficult.
Yeah.
And whenever they would.
Why would she do that? What's the purpose?
I don't know. I wonder. I've often wondered if my son was part of that. And I questioned my son on it, and he said, no, he hasn't. And I said, well, son, it makes me wonder, because I would talk to my son. I said, because I never want to come between you and your wife. Never, ever. And I said, it's why it's so important that if I ever say anything that offends either one of you, you need to come to me and speak to me so we can rectify the situation. And my son isn't a believer either, and neither is she. Through the years, the last time I actually spent time with my grandkids, to say I spent any time with them, was 7 years ago.
Wow. Why is that?
7 years ago. Because I just don't have the finances. I'm on disability. I just barely was making ends where I could have, was living on my own, and then my health took a real downturn. And my son, when I call him half time, doesn't answer the phone call. He can't deal with the diagnosis I have.
So your son isn't, you're not communicating with your son? He's not staying in touch with you?
No, rarely do I hear from him. I'll get a text, maybe a quick phone call on holidays. But I mean, just in the last 7 years, it's like it's all just fell apart. And 7 years ago, his wife got really nasty and was cutting me down in front of my grandchildren in the car. I mean, we're talking major. And my first husband told me that he had to finally step in at another time because her folks were putting me down.
Listen,
although
Cindy, let
me come and stay with him for a summer. So it's like it just got to be such a mess for me mentally.
Listen, you've got to take care. You've got your own challenges right now. You got health challenges. You got issues you need to be taking care of. And I think your story, Cindy, as I hear it unfolding, is we see that problems that develop in these in-law relationships often are cumulative. There's something that happens in the dating. There's something that happens at the wedding. There's something that happens at Christmas. There's something that happens at a missed birthday. Something happens on the telephone or online. And one little thing begins another big thing to another thing. And all of a sudden there's a blow up in the car. And those things are not easily forgotten about. I mean, we'd love to think that we can rise above it, but the reality is there are many listening today, not only you, Cindy, but there are others listening today. And if you're being honest, you haven't talked to a parent or an in-law in years because of something that was done or said a long time ago, and there's been a breach in that relationship. And I don't know what it was, but you know what it is. Only thing I'm going to say, and I've seen this, and it's unfortunate, but it happens. Someday you're going to be standing at the casket of that person. And it's over. And as for me, I try to keep as short a count as I possibly can. You know, I'm just not one that typically carries a lot of that junk. It's just maybe partly the way I'm wired. For others, I know it's more difficult. But I will say this. As the scripture says, to the extent that it's possible, live with unity with all people. Or with your brothers, or with others. And it's interesting that the scripture says as much as it's possible, because it's not always possible. But to the extent it is possible for you to do that, we need to do it. And I know it's hard. And I'm not speaking to you, Cindy, directly, only to all of us. This is a universal topic for all of us. And so for you specifically, Cindy, let me just say, we're going to be praying for you. I think you need to reach out to your son in just a loving way and just connect with him. Send him notes, emails, whatever it is. Just let him know you love him and try to rebuild that relationship. Sad when I hear that. Those relationships with grandma are important. And I'm sorry that yours has been broken.
Come on, men and women, if you've been married, do you ever get disappointed in your spouse? And we know, right back to the first step here, expectation minus reality equals disappointment. Right? Let's go right on through this cycle. Maybe we need to focus on the truth that our spouse wasn't put on this planet to make us happy. Didn't know that, huh? That didn't come up in premarital counseling, right? Maybe the truth is that our spouse is going through some junk in their lives that we don't know. We only see it from our own perspective. Maybe the truth in our relationships here at work, sometimes the coworkers that we're working with are going through some things that we're not aware of. See? We only see life through our own lens.
The topic this month, our featured lesson for intentional living followers and those of you who are praying for, supporting, and listening, is on this topic of discouragement. Dealing with discouragement seems to be a universal problem and challenge with people. And we put these lessons up every month to encourage you, to equip, to come alongside of you. And if you're new to intentional living, we have a really powerful but simple message and ministry, and it's to help you live as God intended by living every day as God intended. And when we do that, boy, lives are radically changed. And I want to say thank you again to those of you who are praying for us and supporting the ministry and standing with us. God bless you. Your monthly support, $1 a day today, will make a huge difference. Many of you, $1 a day, that adds up a little bit from a lot of people. Come and join us today, won't you? Please. Your support is needed to help us stay on track with this ministry of our podcast, radio, and other events. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717. And boy, do we appreciate your support. All right. We got Tyra who's on the line. Tyra, we got a couple of minutes left in the program to wrap it up, so what's your comment on today's topic?
Hi. Hi. You do a wonderful job.
Thank you.
I'll get right to the point. I am so proud of my grandson-in-law. Apparently, he and my granddaughter had been on drugs that we were not sure about, had suspicions but didn't know till CPS got involved. CPS got involved. Next thing I know, I get a phone call about 4 months ago. Long story short, the kids have been here with me. However, both the grandson-in-law, thank you, Jesus, is clean and sober. The mm-hmm. granddaughter is clean and sober. They're getting their kids back. I got a phone call from the grandson-in-law today to tell me that he, all of his debt has been forgiven.
Wow.
And so we've been praying. They've been praying. They've been going to meetings. My granddaughter went through 30-day rehab, clean and sober, got the backing of everyone. And so I just wanted to say all praise and glory is don't give up. Keep a praying. I swear, as God is my witness, all the prayers come true.
You know what, Tyra, I'm so happy for you and for your family that you're seeing God move. And, you know, we've got others who are listening. They've been praying a long, long time, and they've just not seen it move like they'd like it. Don't give up. Keep praying. God's timetable and sometimes his desire and will and things that he's doing in the life of our children, grandchildren, or in the case of in-laws today may be something that we didn't even think about. In fact, one of the prayers should be, Lord, I don't want to get in the way of whatever you're doing in the life of my in-law, but this would be my heart's desire and would ask for it. That's powerful. Thank you, Tyra. Appreciate it. If you have a story to share again about in-laws, how you are working on an in-law improvement in your relationship, or you'd like to share your one thing challenge with me that you've taken on for the next 30 days, again, please do that. Just come on over to theintentionallife.com or call us at 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson for Stephen Davis and the rest of the team here. Thank you for being a part of Intentional Living. We'll see you next time right here from our center, focusing on living an intentional life in Christ.